Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And there's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, this is interesting. This was given to me by the Lord at the beginning of this year. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought or cease to yield fruit. From now until the election, every night, if you have the opportunity with your family, I just have on my heart that we should start praying Psalm 91. Now, I want to share a story with you. When I was in Kuwait, we were getting ready to cross the border to go into Iraq. I pulled all my officers aside. We prayed Psalm 91 together and then prayed it every day. I prayed it every day after that. And it was an amazing thing that occurred for the first deployment of the Washington State National Guard since World War II. In our company, we had one casualty. And I think that we are entering, and we are already in, but we are already in, but we are entering a heightened period of war in this country. We are at war. The Marxists and the Islamists are trying to make their final moves to try to bring this country down. Many of you feel it. Many of you have had dreams about it. Many of you told me about your dreams about it. I talked to two realtors the other day. Massive amounts of people are fleeing New York, Texas, California, other urban areas, and they are coming here to the American Readout. And if you're listening to this radio show for the first time, Patriot Radio has been on the air for a decade plus, talking about this issue, that this would happen, this situation, this very situation would happen. And now it's here. And so I'm going to spend the bulk of today going through some of the things that are behind in the news, behind the scenes that are being hidden from you. And I'm going to fly through a lot of this. But I want you to pay attention the best you can. You're going to want to probably take notes on some of this stuff. Share it with your friends and family. I'm going to give you the primary source documents for it. This is pretty incredible, all the things that are happening. And I am going to end with a commentary on what's really going on with the wildfires. Absolutely fascinating, some of the things that have been uncovered here in the last 24 hours that I want to share with you. So first, we're not going to do, from now in through the election, unless it's really significant, like it involves China, we're not going to really talk about the international front. But today there is one article that I really want to call out on the international front, coming to us from InfoWars. What possible disruption is coming that requires China to start massive stockpiling of all possible commodities? You heard that correctly. Now, we've been watching this for a few months, and I mentioned this back at the beginning of the summer when they started to do this. There has been a surge, of the Chinese trying to swallow up raw materials and strategic goods far in advance of what their economy needs right now. Why would they do that? Why would China announce its plans to boost its strategic commodities reserves to assuage anxiety over energy and food security? Why, starting in 2021, Will it make, it being China, what Bloomberg calls, quote, mammoth purchases of crude, strategic materials and farm goods? Because they're trying to become more self-reliant. And what possible motivation would China have to do for that right now? And it's not just three typhoons going through Northeast China, which is rare, that has dramatically impacted their strategic grain reserves and essentially put them on a path where they won't have enough food to feed their people. It's more than that. But it looks like China is preparing for not just war. That's the simple answer. But this is even more key. It is preparing for the U.S. dollar and China's access to the U.S. dollar to dramatically change. What am I saying in plain and simple English? There could be an attempt to move away from the United States dollar as the reserve currency of the world. There could be a United States move to essentially wipe the debt that China has in U.S. dollars off the books. And this is not hyperbole. This is being discussed. That is being discussed. That means when currency starts being messed with, that does lead to war eventually. So the Chinese trying to buy everything now with the value of currency as it is right now means that something is coming. And we've talked about this. I think we're entering a period of stagflation. That is inflation of daily goods, think food, consumer goods, coupled with deflation of certain assets. And we're already starting to see this in the commercial building market. So I think the Chinese are preparing for it. I think this is a currency issue, and I think ultimately wars come out of this kind of stuff, but it's a currency issue. Which brings us also to one of the creepiest guys on the international scene, Henry Kissinger. Quote, and this is coming to us from LifeSite News, quote, failure to establish post-COVID new world order could set the world on fire, end quote. Henry Kissinger is 96 years old. Many wish he would just go away from the scene. And he is trying to say, along with George Soros, look at when these guys try to come against Trump, you know, Trump's the right guy. When Kissinger and Soros and these guys say Trump's dangerous, you know, he's the right guy, because what Trump is doing is going to the United Nations, he's going to Davos, and he's saying, look, the United States is an independent country. We're going to be an independent country. Oh, by the way, you globalists won't win. You're not going to control us any longer. And he's used the term globalists right in their face. Kissinger says, quote, sustaining the public trust is crucial to social solidarity, to the relation of societies with each other, to international peace and stability, end quote. As long as they're in control. As long as they're in control. And what essentially Kissinger is saying is a veiled threat. It's really what it looks like. Is that what he's doing? Is he threatening the world that if you don't go along with the COVID controls, which is a total scam, plandemic, we all know that now. So you know something's in the offing if the globalists are getting antsy and worried. If they ever do get worried. And I think they are, because there's all these plans that are coming forward now. And I talked about the Transition Integrity Project. Go check that out online. Tips, Transition Integrity Project, page 17, game 3. It talks about in that they are planning, regardless of Trump winning, because they're essentially admitting right now that Trump is going to win. Regardless of Trump winning, that the left is going to, the socialists and the communists are going to drive this country. They're going to try to drive this country toward a civil war. Now, I believe that unrest, the continued violence from these socialists and these communists, I believe that they're going to try to continue that up and through the election into January. I believe that the Democrats are going to try to refuse to certify results in certain states to say the election is still up in the air. Now, this is one of the reasons that we actually have the Electoral College. The founding fathers intentionally put the Electoral College in the Constitution as a check against the people. It was one of the very few checks against the people. And it was actually a specific check against democracy. This is so funny. We hear this term, democracy, thrown. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. And the Constitution actually guarantees a republican form of government. And so one of the checks against democracy or mob rule was the Electoral College. That's why they put it in here. And now you're seeing this come out. So in this Democrat plan, and one of the outlines of this plan comes from Conservative Headquarters by Richard Viguerie. Very well done. One of the plans that they're thinking of doing is delaying certification, allowing certain polling places to open, and then try to sue and stay open on election day in Democrat districts, while alternatively closing Republican polling stations, and Republicans don't, and they're counting on Republicans not fighting back, which Republicans need to fight back. And if they don't fight back, the Republican polling stations will be closed. Meanwhile, these court battles are going on. And they're going to try to contrive an election crisis, a constitutional crisis, out of all of this. So they're going to first announce hundreds of new polling places opened in heavily Democrat urban areas. In Republican areas, Democrats who are responsible for opening those polling places are not going to show up to open those polling sites up, citing COVID-19 or making some other excuse up. So that the Republican polling states places are closed, the Democrat polling places are open, the Democrats are going to try to sue so that the polling places remain open longer that same day. And then essentially say that multiple lawsuits are still out, you know, still outstanding. We don't have a true winner on election night, even though Donald Trump is going to win by a clear majority. They're going to continue this charade through December. And the key date in December is December 8. So this is, you know, I know this is getting a little bit into the weeds, but December 8 is the day that all recounts and electoral disputes related to the presidential election are by law supposed to be resolved. And so December 14th is when the electors are supposed to meet, according to the Constitution, to officially say who is the winner. And so the Democrats are going to try to blow both of those dates, December 8th and December 14th. They're going to try to get it to January 6th. And then essentially say, we still have a problem. Then January, and January 6th, just a date, January 20th, then trying to say that the Presidential Secession Act of 1947 would kick in, and therefore Speaker Pelosi would come into being. She would refuse to seat certain Republican representatives in order to keep a majority to try to steal the presidency. Because then if it goes to the House of Representatives for the final vote, according to the Constitution, she would try to steal it. That's one plan that these guys are discussing. It's disgusting. One of the other ways that they're looking at doing this, according to the Epoch Times, is actually a push, to shift votes using Google and Facebook. And they want to try to do this not to win the electoral vote, because they're going to lose that, but to say that there was a popular vote win so large we can't ignore it and we must have election reform. And so these big tech companies are not going to just, I'm not just talking about the censorship that's going on. I'm talking about altering search results, intentionally blacklisting, shadow banning, those types of things. And I think, too, we are going to see more disinformation put out by the mainstream media about what's really going on. So, again, I'm going to say this. Let me keep saying this. Do not watch the mainstream media anymore. They are lying to you. And if, look, there's a new book coming out by Woodward. He's the guy that Bob Woodward was involved way back during the Watergate time frame. And he's talking about the fact in this book, according to the New American, that General Mattis plotted to overthrow the U.S. government. You're talking, he did this, so the, I mean, you think about this for a second, okay? I want you to think about this for a second, what I just said. The defense secretary and the head of U.S. intelligence were talking, and Mattis wanted to overthrow Donald Trump. That is, by definition, a coup attempt or coup plot. And that's in this new book by Bob Woodward. So take a look at that. That's how bad they want to remove Trump, because he is ruining everything that the globalists are trying to do. He is restoring prosperity to average Americans, us. Doesn't matter your ethnicity. He is restoring prosperity. That's what we're about. And undermining the globalists and their control over everything. Because when you restore wealth to the rest of the population, it starts to challenge what Henry Kissinger calls the New World Order. Yes, the stuff's real. Go take a look at it for yourself. Also, on the national front, is coming to us from the Houston Courant. The House Republicans, and this is back in July, okay? Now, this got missed all the way up. House Resolution 6395, otherwise known as the National Defense Authorization Act, passed virtually every year. Some form of it or amendment to it, right? Okay, so anyway, the point is that buried deep inside this bill on page 343, quote, a military court protective order issued on an ex parte basis shall restrain a person from possessing, receiving, or otherwise accessing a firearm, end quote. And then in section 542, it essentially codifies what we all know is a red flag law. And the Republicans appear to have been asleep during this time, and they tried to sneak this by in the House. So the Senate now and Donald Trump need to stop that, try to sneak a red flag law into the National Defense Authorization. That's how despicable these people are. And then hoping nobody catches it. All right, I'm going to talk about the the fires, and I want to get to history very quickly. So there have been a series of wildfires along specific highway corridors during this windstorm in particular that came through. And the fact of the matter is that we are now hearing that Umatilla County in Oregon is confirming 7 arsonists were arrested in Medford. And Douglas County arrested 8, although these numbers are not confirmed. This is what I'm hearing. Now, I have heard that not only that, but there was somebody in Spokane County as well. And so the question becomes, was this something other than naturally occurring fires? To wit, law enforcement today writes, sources are telling law enforcement today that they may be part of a coordinated attack. This referring to these fires. And again, I'm hearing from multiple sources about these arrests that are occurring in different things. And so I want to go through this quickly. So on Wednesday in Puyallup, Washington, a 36-year-old Puyallup man was caught setting a fire in brush, was arrested. Another arson suspect was arrested in Spokane after allegedly starting multiple fires. Christine Camello, 36, was arrested after allegedly starting multiple fires in Spokane on Monday. Then also we have this story out of Oregon about suspects being arrested and the story out of Douglas County. So, and if you look at the map of where these wildfires were, most of them were along these highway corridors. So that coupled with a King 5 news report from August 19th, that several power poles in Snohomish County had been vandalized with a chainsaw. They weren't vandalized with a chainsaw. The person was trying to cut it down. You can take a look at the pictures. So again, raising the question of whether this was a coordinated attack as part of this ramp up in and through the election by these socialist and communist forces in America. I want to mention one other thing. This has to do with COVID-19. If you go to Tento, T-E-N-T-O Health, T-E-N-T-O Health, T-E-N-T-O Health.com, TentoHealth.com, they have a digital health identification wallet with self-sovereign identity, which allows individuals to have complete control over how their personal information is kept and used. And it says right on their health certificate, CPAS, grant access. What is this? This is what has been predicted for the last few months. This is the vaccine passport electronic version. Go check it out for yourself. This is where this is headed. And I pray to God we have elected officials with backbone that are going to stand against this. It's totalitarian. Very sense of the word. All right, this week I want to talk about a couple things in history we need to celebrate. The first is, and Western civilization does include Eastern Europe. Somebody tried to say that it's Eastern Christian Empire. Look, I'm not talking about the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman. I'm talking about Western civilization, okay, which included the Greco-Roman map, which includes Eastern Europe. Okay, now that we're done with that. All right, September 8th, 1380, Kiev Rus, the Russian, what we know now today as the Russian Empire, began its long march to liberation from the Islamic yoke. And there was a huge battle called the Battle of Kulikovo. And that battle at Kulikovo Field near the Don River, the Russians were outnumbered. And this included what we would call part of Ukraine, but the Principality of Moscow or Muscovy, which was then under Mongol rule in 1359, began to defy these overlords. It culminated in 1380, where the Russians at the Battle of Kulikovo finally won and began to throw off this Islamic yoke in that part of Eastern Europe. Also very interesting, on the same day, but several hundred years later, in 1565, the Ottoman Turks had besieged the tiny island of Malta, which is in the middle of the Mediterranean, subjected it to heavy, heavy bombardment. This had begun several decades earlier when Muslim pirates from Algiers began to terrorize Christian Mediterranean. Well, that terrorism actually carried forward several hundred years until the founding fathers had to deal with what were called the Barbary pirates on the Barbary coast, same area. And so during this time, there was a battle over the Mediterranean, and there was this siege of Malta. On May 18th, the Ottomans had commenced this nonstop bombardment of St. Elmo, one of Malta's key forts. And all 1,500 defenders finally were slaughtered and captured. But the rest of the island held out. And in late August, the island was still not taken, and St. Paul's Bay, Sicily's viceroy, Garcia de Toledo, finally arrived with 10,000 soldiers. St. Paul's Bay was named St. Paul's Bay because that's where they believe St. Paul had actually shipwrecked and then came onto the island of Malta where he was warming by the fire. You can read about that in Acts. But September 11th, because they continued to hold out, finally, the last of the Ottomans left. And it began on September 8th, though, this exodus by the Ottoman Turks, and is hailed and celebrated as a huge victory in preserving and defending Christendom and Western civilization. And then lastly, on September 11th and 12th, one of the greatest victories in Western, the history of Western civilization, culminated on September 12th, 1683, an expedition of Turks who had originally come to Vienna because Hungarian Calvinists essentially gave approval for them to invade. Yes, you heard that right. And 150,000 Turks laid siege to Vienna. Well, as they began to bombard Vienna, the Pope at that time, Innocent XI, he actually tried to get France to intervene on the side of Vienna and stop this Muslim invasion of Eastern Europe. What happened? The French said no thank you. And so it fell then to Poland and the great Polish general Jan Sobieski. And several armies came together from northern Italy, from what we now know today as the Czech Republic, from Bavaria. They came together under the banner of Jan Sobieski. And completely crushed and routed the invading Muslim army. And that began the several hundred year decline of the Ottoman Empire, which culminated in the abolishing of the Caliphate in 1924. It's important to understand history because if we don't, we miss a lot of other cultures understand these dates and the importance of these dates. We need to celebrate the defense of Christendom and the defense of Western civilization, because freedom is indeed worth fighting for. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, we are on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify, and there's a replay every night at 9 o'clock on the entire American Christian Network. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest today, Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center, a great friend and freedom fighter. Tom, thanks once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Matt, and thanks for having me. It's my privilege.
So, I was just talking about history. I mean, we could talk also about the history of the loss of property rights and the fight for preserving the idea of private property rights. Let's start with this. Why in this time are private property rights so critical for the continuance of a free people?
Without property rights, there is no freedom. There are basically three pillars of freedom: free enterprise, private property rights, and freedom of choice. And if you don't have property to stand on, first of all, how do you declare your rights for everything else? And private property ownership has been proven through the ages as the best means for most people to build their own personal wealth and their own personal security. And without property rights, then somebody else is telling you what you're going to do and where you're going to do it.
We have this push continued. I was talking about Henry Kissinger earlier. We still have this push by the globalists to try to, you know, take over every part of our lives. Tell the listeners a little bit about where we're at, where Agenda 21 is at right now, and what their kind of future near-term plans are. And then I want to get into the solutions that you've been working on.
Okay. Well, the situation with Agenda 21, every few years they come up with a reboot of it. And in 2000, it was a Millennium Summit and Millennium Declaration, which had 8 goals. And just a couple, 3 years ago, they came up with Agenda 2030, which had 12 goals. They're exactly the same goals as the Millennium Summit and the same goals of Agenda 21. And now we have the Green New Deal. And the interesting thing that I see happening with this is that under Agenda 21 and all of its other forms, we were told over and over again, that's just a conspiracy theory, doesn't exist, and we're just a bunch of conspiracy nuts who are passing that on. All of a sudden, the Green New Deal comes on with exactly the same goals, the same policies, but that is a piece of legislation in Congress. It has congressmen who are signing on to it, and you also have people around the country, the mayor of New York, Los Angeles, and all around are putting their own version of the Green New Deal together. So it's very difficult for them to call that a non-existent conspiracy theory. But the interesting thing, as this is beginning to happen, two things. One, people are beginning to understand that Agenda 21, Green New Deal, have absolutely nothing to do with protecting the environment. That's how they sold it, that we're just trying to protect the environment, climate change, blah, 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 blah. This is obviously an economic system. It is anti-free enterprise, anti-private property, and anti-personal choice, all three from the pillars. And people are starting to get that. And the other thing is that I'm seeing more and more begin to stand up now and say, stand in opposition to this. And it's easier now. They've taken all the gloves off. They've taken all the cutesy little words that, doublespeak that they used to make it sound unthreatening. And now today, people are starting to hear the real truth of what they're after. And there's not much denying it. So that is helping us to bring people on board to fight it.
It really is. Yeah, I remember getting ambushed outside of a city hall over in Federal Way and in SeaTac, and they said, is it true you believe in Agenda 21? And thanks to you and the New American, I was able to really quickly say, do you mean that 300-page, 30-chapter document entitled The UN Agenda for the 21st Century? Yeah, that's a real document. Don't you believe that's real? You know, and watch the look on their face, because there's nowhere you can go with that stuff. And the fact of the matter is they've been very outspoken. They have been very open. They have been very methodical in their plan to take this to the local level. And unfortunately, even Republicans have just let some of this stuff just slide into place when it is so detrimental to everything that we consider American.
Well, absolutely. And what a lot of people believe, you know, they vote for their city councilmen, their county commissioners, state legislators, and they believe that those, you know, they're putting people in place who will respect their rights and fight for them. And they may have said that on the campaign trail. They're, you know, Republicans particularly are really good at that. Democrats are a little more honest, telling you, "We know we're going to take everything, but it's for you. You know, it's just to help you along." And so, what has happened? What people don't realize are these this force, this army that has come together to put these things in place. The non-governmental organizations and the planning groups, the Sierra Club and the Nature Conservancy and ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, are some of the international groups that helped write Agenda 21 in the first place at the UN level. And now you have the American Planning Association, which is in, you know, one way or another is in almost every single community in the country. And they have said outright that the free market has failed to do the things that need to be done, so therefore their planning is designed to make your life better and redesign. Of course, the other argument they use is that the planning is, we're just thinking about the future, what we need to do to make sure we have good, solid planning for the future for our community. It has nothing to do with any of that international stuff. But then if you look at the plans that they put together, the comprehensive plans, you will see things in there like international electric codes, international plumbing codes, international building codes, and, you know, but this isn't any of that international stuff, you know.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's this... This, oh, we, you guys don't have anything to worry about. Why are you against planning? We should all do it for the betterment of the community, Tom. Why are you against smart growth? Why are you against having a plan ahead of time? Do you just want chaos, Tom? Are you advocating for chaos? And you hear this kind of stuff. How do you respond to it?
Well, you know, I've been attacked many, many times for all of this. And we've been trying to put together plans to counter it. What I do is I start showing the plans and what they are and where they come from. The interesting thing, you know, the Atlantic right now is under real attack, the magazine, for saying that Donald Trump had said disparaging things about soldiers and dead soldiers and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, in I think it was, what was it, 2013. They did an article, front-page article, that the title of it was, "Is the UN Using Bike Paths to Achieve World Domination?" You see, they were responding to something I said, because I was talking about the local programs, that when they are taking people's private property and using federal grants to put in bike paths and so forth, and the reason they're putting in the bike paths is because the real target is to get you out of your cars and get you riding bikes, and all this with the excuse of protecting the environment. I'm making that point, and this is how they throw it back out. That's how sustainability initiatives become fodder for right-wing conspiracy theories. And this is just, you know, just the whole article just goes on and on like that. And so, you know, that's what they do. They and I was in Rexburg, Idaho, a year or so ago, and I was speaking there to a group. And the article that came out from the reporter, the same kind of thing. He basically almost used that exact headline, you know, that I was advocating bike paths are part of world domination. And, you know, he never even acknowledged, let me know he was even there. He never asked me a single question. And then he goes and he writes this article. Well, too bad for him. I had a complete copy of what I had said. So I took his article, and I went through, and after, under every paragraph, I put what I really said. And then I issued that out, you know, to the media, and talked about how the left, you know, lies and you know, in the media. And that's one of the things we have to do. We've got to discredit them, because that's what they're trying to do to us. And we've got to show the truth of what we're doing.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think is important with all of this is it's the truth in our communication need to be relentless. We have to be relentless on this. We can't just be in for one issue and then go home. We got to be relentless on this stuff. And ultimately, you know, COVID-19 and all the pandemic stuff, I mean, all this is what was predicted years ago. They would try to clamp down control mechanisms in whatever way they possibly could. And now we're seeing some of this stuff, the list of horribles that could never happen in the United States of America, it's happening today. So, Tom, what do we do about it? That's ultimately the question. What do we do?
Well, you know, the other side for 50 years have been planning and organizing behind the scenes. The real call they had from the beginning was think globally and act locally, which means we know what our goal is here to create this globalism, and but we've got to do it on the local level. And they have spent all this time getting their people into every single position they could possibly get them into, from dog catcher up to you know, the head of the you know, county commission and so forth. And they've done a great job at it. And so now when they want to put policies in place, you know, they've got all this backup in there. And of course, these NGO organizations I started talking about are working behind the scenes, bringing in the sample legislation, bringing in the grant programs and all that. And they're telling, you know, local officials, hey, we got it all right here in a box for you. Even got the money for you, too. You don't even have to think. Just sign right here, and it's all yours. You move forward. And that's how they're imposing these globalist policies. And they say it's local, local, local. People in the community came up with this. It's not a conspiracy theory. Well, we have to, first of all, learn how to expose this. And we are working right now putting together a series of training webinars for local activists, focusing on the local level. Too many people want to get involved in the presidential campaigns and the deal with Congress and so forth. It rarely comes from the top down to fix it. It's from the bottom up that these things get fixed. I mean, the Founding Fathers really created our government to be that way. You could, you know, you'd have more influence on local officials than you would. The bigger government gets, the higher it gets, the farther away it gets from you, and the less influence you have on it. And so, you know, what we need to do is begin to set up our own system of organization and training to begin to get our own people in those kinds of positions, and also to be know how to stand up in front of a city council, a county commissioner, what have you, and counter what's going on there. I hear too many times from other elected officials that they never ever hear from our side. They have public meetings and so forth, and nobody from our side is there saying anything. Unfortunately, if they do show up, many times they will come in and they will try, they get those 3 minutes to speak, and they're trying to tell them the entire history and policies of Agenda 21, and you're implementing UN Agenda 21, and many times these elected officials never heard of that. Meanwhile, these NGOs are standing behind them, and they're saying, don't pay attention to that guy. The guy's nuts. And so they shut you down, and that's all they hear from us. And then they go, oh, yeah, I heard about those conspiracy theorists. So we have to learn a new way to approach this, get much more specific about specific policies and how they're affecting people in the community. And one of the things that I advocate very strongly, the other side is very good at using emotion in what they do, and we are very educated people who understand philosophy and economics and, you know, all the things that go with it. And so as soon as they come up with one of their crazy policies, we're standing there saying, well, that won't work economically because this will do this to the dollar and this will happen over here. And by that time, the audience has gone to sleep, and then the little lefty stands up and says, somebody's got to do something, and, you know, off and running. And you know, that's what they do. Well, we've got all kinds of stories of victims of these programs, people who have lost their property, lost their livelihood, You know, and these are heart-wrenching stories. And so we need to begin to focus and tell our story that way and put focus on it as to why these policies are bad and learn how to build a network of people, a team, really, to come at them and fight there on the local level.
Let's talk about the local level. We, we've talked many times, you know, here in the 4th Legislative District in Spokane Valley, 52 elected positions. You've got water districts, sewer districts, cemetery districts, all of them taxing districts. All of them, in some way or another, will affect property rights. And yet these positions kind of get ignored over the years, but they're super important. And also, if we don't run for these things, if we don't engage in these things, the other side is. I mean, they already have put forward a plan to do this kind of stuff. So can you tell a little bit about, in the rest of the country, how this works? I mean, how should we be doing this at the local level? And what are some things that people can start implementing at the local level or trying to get past at the local level that can stop some of this stuff?
Well, the first, a couple of things that you need to know before you can start. First of all, I think most people living in a community don't even know those boards exist and that maybe they're electable positions. And so they don't even know to run for those, nor do they understand what they really do to people. The first thing we have to do in organizing is gather information. Know who your enemy is, first of all. And as I mentioned, these NGO organizations and so forth that are, you know, your real government rather than the people that you elected. I mean, that's what's happened. It's morphed into that, and your ability to affect what's going on gets less. So you begin to research this, look into who these groups are, where they come from, where their funding comes from, and so forth, and what policies they are putting in place and how they're doing that. And if, say, for example, you've got a section of town that they're going to use eminent domain to come in, tear down a whole bunch of buildings there, and build some new spanking new operation there, the high-rises and the new stores and all that. Well, what you'll find if you start researching that is that there are people who are living there, that there are some mom-and-pop shops there, there are people who own their own property and so forth, and when those bulldozers move in there without anybody ever talking to them, never hearing what they had to say about it, those people lose everything. When they build all the new buildings and so forth, you can bet that the mom-and-pop restaurant or the laundry or whatever it was that was in there isn't going to be given a spot there so they can continue their business in that neighborhood. Some global corporation is going to come in and be the restaurant or whatever it is. And these are the victims. And so as you do your research and find this is what's going to happen there, one way to begin to build your movement is to go into that neighborhood and say, do you know what is about to happen to you? And begin to tell them. And the worst nightmare of these people is that you are able to bring those victims into the city council or the county commission, whatever it is, and have them tell their stories and begin to get people with tears in their eyes about what's happening to them. They don't want to hear that. And so bringing that emotion into it is major. And doing the research and knowing exactly what's going on, we have created a manual, and it's called the workbook for or the activist handbook, How to Fight Back in Your Community. And one of the things I have in there, I'm sure you know Pat Wood. Pat created a community survey that you fill out this document with and all the questions it asks. You will find out everything there needs to be known in your community about what's going on there. And we're going to show people how to fill that out and you know, get that information. And then the other thing is, you know, one of the things Republicans have just absolutely ignored in so many places over the last several decades is building up their precinct organizations, the local neighborhoods, to guarantee that they're going to get their people out to vote and build a powerhouse there to, you know, guarantee that we get our people elected. And, you know, the next thing, what I think right now has to be done, the most critical thing we're facing in the next 2 months is ballot security. The you know, we haven't, the Republican Party is sitting there ignoring what mm-hmm. we know is coming. I imagine all across this country there are rooms full of people sitting at tables filling out ballots, and there are going to be truckloads of these things sitting there waiting. And what they've done in the past is they wait and see how an election's going on election night, and if their guy is starting to fall behind, all of a sudden, oh golly, we just found these ballots in a car somewhere, and nobody ever goes to jail over this, you know. And so that, I think, is a major issue that we've got to focus on right now.
I completely agree. It is a major issue that we have to focus on. And I've heard that there are some major cities in the United States that have already been compromised. And, you know, I can't wait to break this story. But, I mean, it's just incredible that this is where it's at in America. And that there is a segment of the United States that wants to try to steal this and drive us into despotism. Tom, there you have a lot of resources. If you could plug your website, where can people go? How can they sign up? Where do they get involved?
Okay. Yeah, our website, we're American Policy Center, and our website is americanpolicy.org. No center in it, americanpolicy.org. And we have an extensive archive there of articles we've written on these issues for a long time. We've been working to put tools together. I've written three books on the issue, and everything's available there on the website to look at it. We've got a booklet that says Agenda 21 and How to Stop It. You can actually download it for free on the website. We've got another one on smart meters, same thing. You can download it for free there. But we have coming up, actually going to start next week, a series of training webinars. And if you go on the website and go into, we have a thing there where you can sign up for emails. If you sign up and get your name on our email list, then as we begin to put these out, you'll get them. You'll be alerted to it and receive them. And we're putting these, it's a building block that we're working to put together. I told all the people that have been involved with this, as we do these webinars, to first of all picture that person. We hear them all the time saying, I'm only one person, I don't know what to do, what should I do first, how should I get involved? And keep that person in front of you as you're putting your plans together on how to train them. And other people who do know some things, find they're going to learn something too. But we've got the series of building blocks. I've got a lady, Mary Baker, who puts together an incredible teaching seminar on training, and she talks about how to become a citizen ninja. And we talk about how to do research, how to build a team. You need somebody who does research. You need somebody who is the person who puts the plans together. They look ahead and see what to do. You get the people who are the ones who go in and do the speaking at the public meetings. Some people don't want to get involved in all that, but they want to show up in the crowd in case you have a sign waving or something like that. That's building a team. How to use the news media, how to use social media, all these kind of things is what we're going to focus on. And in the manual that we've created, the new handbook, we've got a whole lot of background information on these policies, what they are, how they've been imposed, who's behind them. And so this will help you when you go in to stand up against these policies, what they are and how to approach it and how to speak about it.
Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight. This is going to be an incredible 3 months, a historic 3 months. So I look forward to having you back on again sometime at the end of this.
Absolutely. And let me just say, Matt, again, thank you for helping supply us the five bills that for legislators that we can begin to put a plan together through the legislatures to begin to support private property rights and push back on some of these regulations on them and so forth. So that's a major help, and I deeply appreciate it.
Well, God bless you, Tom, and thank you again. And it's going to take all of us in this fight, not just one or two folks. And I hope everybody out there, I hope you're listening to this. Go to American Policy Center, sign up for the newsletter, check them out, get the resources, and start in your community today. Tom, again, thanks. And, man, it's great to have you in the battle in this time. You know, God put us here for this time, and thank you for being such a warrior all these years.
Well, good to stand by you.
So, all right.
Absolutely.
Blessing. Okay, so we are going to end the show with a couple of reminders here quickly. If you didn't hear any of the first part of the show, again, you can catch it on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. You can also catch the replay 9 o'clock tonight. You got to see this article on General Mattis. The New American has it. Unbelievable. No wonder Trump is having such a hard time. Everybody's trying to undermine him because he's actually for the people. And that's what we have to remember here. He is for the people. If he would not have these very wealthy, power-hungry megalomaniacs after him if he wasn't for the people. It just wouldn't happen. And you know, now these things are coming out in some of these books and revelations. But by the same token, it's not going to be a man that's going to do this. It's going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be returning Christ to the center of our hearts so he can return to the center of our country. And we are planning for more outdoor revivals here coming up shortly. So stay tuned for that. Revival is already here. We're seeing lives transformed. It is amazing. So we have to be diligent on the one side against the physical threats, and we have to be diligent on the other side against the spiritual threats. It's got to be both. And that's what it means to be an American. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.